plate a potential nugget.
Moving on, one of the other pieces I found interesting was you talking about locating others' emotional expression where it belongs, which is with them. What's the nuance here, Jen?
This advice comes out of the experience of watching people get stuck on that conflict loop because they got drawn into something that could have just stayed with the other person, but once we get drawn into it, now it's our problem too. The advice also comes from so many years of emotional intelligence literature and practice and advice telling us about empathy and how to be empathetic. And I think for sure there are still many, many people for whom that advice is super important and people who need to learn how to listen more effectively, how to show empathy for other people. And there, I think, is an ever-growing, very significant portion of the population in organizational life of people who are really great at empathizing with other people. Sometimes over-empathizing, just empathizing too much or so much that it gets in our way. And so the advice to allow other people's responses and reactions to remain with them is particularly relevant for those of us who might be likely to be very good at empathizing with other people, and to remember that it's okay and in fact advisable to hold a boundary between ourselves and other people so that if someone else is yelling at me, I have a choice about whether I take that personally and tell myself the story that that's because I'm a bad person or I did something wrong or I made a mistake or not. Or maybe it's some combination, right? But at the very least, it's not only about me if someone else is yelling at me, right? It also tells me, it's also data. It tells me something about how they deal with something that they didn't like, right? So one of the stories in the book that runs throughout the book is about Bob and Sally. And Bob has this temper where he doesn't like something and he flies off the handle. And Sally, you know, does the same thing right back. They're in this blame conflict loop. And so my work with them, part of it was about helping Bob learn how to pause before he would pick up the phone and scream at someone who, you know, was responsible for that day's client mishap. And part of it was also for Sally, helping her to not respond every time he would start screaming. And for her to take her own pause and break and just say, look, he can scream his head off, but he's going to look like a real fool. He's going to look like the fool if I just stand here and witness it versus the minute I, Sally, start yelling back, well, now I'm implicated, right? This is such a, you know, you can see this with anyone who has more than one young child, any parent. Right? It's like I can't tell you how many times I've said to my daughter, the minute you started yelling back at him or the minute you hit him, now I'm not yelling at him, I'm yelling at you. Like, now it's your fault too. Like, if you had just come to me and said, mommy, my brother hit me, or, you know, whatever he did to you, you would have been in the clear. But now that you're implicated too, now you're both in trouble.
That's not a conflict loop. That's like a conflict nuclear explosion.
Exactly. And very common, more common with adults than we might like to admit, but it's the same exact Absolutely. Pattern.
I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old, so that touched a nerve.
Right, exactly. Well, I think, you can help them. Let the other person, let it stay with the other person.
Got it. And maybe just staying with it for a minute, in a way, this piece sounds a bit like the point you made around relentlessly collaborate, where something that's a virtue, which is empathy, can actually come in the way if we over-empathize. So there's a downside to too much of a good thing is the way I took it.
Yes, absolutely. Again, I think because the world of collaboration has been around for so long, for so many decades now, there is more and more a risk that the things that we've learned how to do in order to do well when we deal with conflict are the things that are now, 40 years later, getting in people's way. And that's an important thing to be aware of. And to know yourself. You know, if you know that your conflict habit is that you typically, you know, blame other people, that's one thing. But you could just as easily be someone who's relentlessly collaborating with other people, and that can just as easily get in your way. So know yourself. That's the, the first practice here is to know your conflict habit, identify the patterns that you typically get stuck in with other people, and then ask yourself, what's really going on here? And what could I do that would be different from what I've done before? And there you don't need anyone. I mean, the beauty of this methodology too, is that you don't need anyone else's cooperation in order to free yourself from a conflict loop. It all comes from within yourself. So if someone else is going to scream their head off and you kind of disengage from that, well, then they're just, like I said before, they're just kind of screaming and you're not involved. It's a much different, there's no loop there. You're free from it.
Like Jen says, with a 7-year-old and 11-year-old, there's no shortage of situations or use cases where I get to practice my mindfulness techniques. The other piece worth reflecting on here is the value of diversity, I guess, at a team level or at the family level. I guess it's good to have different conflict styles so that we are agile in the way we respond to a situation. Not to stereotype, but I come from a conservative Tambram middle class public sector banker father, follow the rules kind of a household in Chennai. And my wife comes from an army background, lived most of her life in the rough and tumble of Delhi and thereabouts. And in her family, free speech and conflict were a way of life. And when it comes to conflict, I have a default preference for conflict avoidance and driving harmony. And my wife would often lean into the conflict in some situations. Without getting into which approach is better, but with the wisdom of hindsight, I do see that for some of the situations, conflict was possibly the only way out of the sticky problem. As you would appreciate, we do have our moments, but I do think there's something about diversity in conflict preferences at a collective level and the notion of conflict agility, our ability to have different conflict styles depending on the situation. Just worth thinking about that in the way it shows up in the team environment as well. Are we getting the most out of the conflict preferences of our team members? And are we putting the right team members to deal with certain situations where their conflict approach might be in line with the kind of response we need in that situation? Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.